Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is those colorful words of Amos, penned about 2,700 years ago. This is what he said: "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to be met by a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him." My brother and sister, Judgment Day is real. Many people live as if it were not, as if it were some religious fiction, or as if somebody made up this story. Judgment Day is the word of God. God promised it, and God delivers. Judgment Day is real, and there is no escaping from it. In a very colorful picture, Amos depicts a man running away from a lion, and when he escapes from the lion, here is a bear in his path, and he escapes from the bear and makes it home and rests his hands on the wall, and a snake comes down and bites him. There is no escaping from Judgment Day. The fact that some people live as if it did not exist and were not coming doesn't change the fact that it will come. This God that created heavens and the earth promised to destroy it just as really as he created it. This God that created time will do an end to time, when there will be no more time. God never measured anything by time. It is always by cycles. There was a cycle from creation to Noah. Bam! God's cycle in action. We could count 1,400 years or something like that. But from Noah to Abraham, a cycle. From Abraham to Moses, a cycle. Moses to Jesus, a cycle. And I love the Dr. Luke's language in the Gospel according to St. Luke. In the fullness of time, when God's cycle was finished, in the fullness of time, it came to pass. That just means it happened. When the time was right, it happened. God operates with cycles. And on the day Jesus ascended into heaven, two men appeared next to the disciples who were still looking up. And they said, "Men of Galilee, what are you looking into the clouds? This Jesus that was taken from you, this same Jesus will come back." There is the promise. And every time we confess our faith, we say, "And I believe that he will return in glory to judge both the living and the dead." That's our faith. He will return to judge the living and the dead. The day of the Lord, as they called it in the Old Testament, is Judgment Day, is the last day, the day when time will end, the day in which, in the fullness of time, God ended time. Until then, we live from day to day, believing and coming to fill and refill our flasks with oil so that we are ready for when the bridegroom finally comes and invites us to his wedding feast that will have no end. God's record in the realm of keeping promises is pretty good. I would say it is perfect. Every single promise from time, from the beginning of time, has been fulfilled in its time. Throughout the whole New Testament, beginning with Adam and Eve, God had promised a Savior. It didn't come out of Eve. It didn't come out of Noah's wife or Sarah, Abraham's wife. It didn't come out of Bathsheba, David's wife. It came out of through Mary, a poor little girl in Galilee who had found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In the fullness of time, that's when it happens. God only promised that his son would come back to judge the living and the dead. He didn't say when. Now, on the other side, people's record in believing God's promises gets a big fat goose egg, a strong F minus, if that's possible. There were in the world approximately 3 times more people at Noah's time than today. By the most conservative of calculations, we had 20 billion inhabitants on earth. Noah, 3 sons, and their wives believed. That's it. The others did not. And they were destroyed just as God had promised. It took 120 years, which is more than a lifetime for you and me. But for each one of them, judgment day came. And talking about individual judgment days, it has been coming from the beginning. Adam was old when he died, but he died. Abraham was old, but he died. And so all the people that were born died until yesterday. Several died. For them, judgment day came. For me, it'll come too when the ticker stops. I don't know when, but I'm not worried about it. I'm not standing at the door saying, oh, the ticker is still going. No. I don't worry about it because I am in God's care. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God planned my life for me. I don't have to worry about the agenda. He grants me every day according to his grace. And when he wants to stop that, that's his right, and I'll be happy. People's record in believing is not good, as demonstrated again in Sodom and Gomorrah, 2 towns that numbered approximately 200,000 inhabitants. And God said, if you don't repent, you're going to be toast. None believed except Noah and his 2 daughters, 3 out of 200,000. God destroyed the rest, just as he had promised. Noah's contemporaries doubted, Sodom and Gomorrah inhabitants doubted, and the earth now is full of doubters. But you and I know that, and that puts the monkey on our back. It is our spiritual and even moral responsibility to let the world know that Christ said, I will return, and to get the world ready for him. And how do we do that? By saying, Christ saves. Jesus saves. And by portraying that truth in our lives, by being even keeled in tragedy or in times of great jubilation. We don't lose it either way, because underlying it all is this joy of knowing that we belong to someone greater than we ourselves, to something greater than our own family. We belong to the Una Sancta, the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We belong to the family of God. That's our comfort. So, Jesus tells us to keep watch and pray. Let's learn from those who doubted, and let's not imitate their example and their weakness. But let's continue to watch and to refill our flasks with oil, that we may not run dry. Don't stand at the door and wait for the day, but get busy. Continue to be busy. To be busy in the house of the Lord, in the realm of faith, in proclaiming the gospel, personally or corporately, as we do. Our little congregation here, every year, goes into 12 different countries through our mission efforts and sustains missionaries and supplies mission materials. We pray for them and we proclaim the gospel to them. That's wonderful. It is like being the kids in father or mother's kitchen and workshop. The little girl showed the cupcake. Look what I made with mom's help. Look what we accomplished with our father's help in his workshop, the church. So God's son is coming back. Let's be ready, but let's not be idle. Let's get busy. He gave us plenty of tasks to keep both body and soul busy until that day. And may he guide us through his Holy Spirit and give us peace within as we carry out the wonderful message that in Jesus there is life and forgiveness of sins and salvation. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.